Hi, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Sigflup, and this is episode one of Demo or Bust 2010. Now, what is Demo or Bust 2010? It's a series of HPR episodes, which I thought would be a lot of fun to do, narrating the construction of a demo, which will be shown at Block Party 2010, which is in Cleveland. Jason Scott will be there. He's pretty cool. Rad man. Whole bunch of other people. Trickster. A lot of Hornet people. Phoenix. Northern Dragons will be there. Barzul. Guybrush. Aztec. Polaris. A lot of demo people. It's a lot of fun. You should go. Because it's a lot of fun. And what this is, again, is a narration of the construction of a demo, because you work on, the reason why I'm doing this is complex. The one of the major reasons why is you work on a project, right, in the dark, as it seems to other people, and you type away and you type away, and say you have this operating system that you write, and it's a pretty simple operating system as far as operating systems go. It's something that boots off a floppy disk. And has two processes, and it does switching between these processes, and you have the output maps to two keys that you can push, and you're like, dude, look at this. You put it in a floppy disk, you turn on the power, you wait a little bit, and it says A, and you're like, dude, that's the process one, and then you press the button two. And that switches to the output of process two, right? And it shows bees, and you're like, dude, that's process two. It has bees coming out of it. And they're like, great, A's and B's. That's wonderful. You've done some good work there. And they don't really get it because it's not shiny enough. And maybe if they knew what was going on, it would be more impressive to them. And so you just try and describe demos to people in sort of a similar way. You're like, you have this disc of demos that you bring over to someone and you tell them a little about it. And you're like, demos are so cool. Let's watch a demo. And you show them this demo. And 5 minutes later, they're like, I've seen better videos than that. Like, I guess that was kind of cool. But and you're like, no, this is a program. It's doing it real time. And think of it like a play or something. And they're like, yeah, I guess. And in their mind, they're thinking, well, I saw this car commercial the other day, and it had the almond brake in it, and these cars flew around, and it was nice and shiny, and it wasn't these ribbons and this cube and crap. That was much better. And but it's totally different. But people don't really understand programming art. Unless you're a programmer. And I mean, that I think is similar for a lot of other arts. A lot of my friends who are into guitars, for instance, tell me that techno music is wallpaper music. And I'm like, no, it's I try and describe, well, no, this song you're listening to is the TR-303, the TB-303. And it doesn't translate, you know what I mean? So this is an attempt to translate the effort that goes into something that is a little opaque at the end, because demos are kind of opaque. You don't really get a feel for if you have no flavor for what a demo is, you have no feeling for what it is by watching it. And so step one, each episode is going to be a different step that I've taken in making this demo. And I've written a couple demos and they've been from scratch, and this one's going to be from scratch too, pretty much. I mean, eventually I think the North American demo scene will, because it seems like there's the European demo scene. You can Google demo scene if you want to know all about it. The European demo scene, to me, at least, seems like they've had a lot more time with this. And with time comes techniques. And sometimes with techniques comes tools. and comes groups, and comes things like this, and it takes time to have good demos. And starting from scratch every time necessarily isn't the best idea if you want a good demo. So I'm starting from scratch this time too, but I'm going to attempt to make a system for me and my demo group, which is just me, but if anyone wants to do art or music, they certainly can, is make a environment, an engine, if you will, that is useful for making other demos and makes it easier to make other demos, thereby taking a lot of the workload off of the programming aspect of it, which will always be there because it's a demo, it's kind of programmer art, but if it's a little less abstract, it becomes easier to implement ideas about art that may be abstract, if that makes sense. One abstraction makes room for the other, or the lack of one abstraction makes room for the other. So the first thing that I did was generate a file system for it. Think of like an ISO file system. Maybe not the best example, but something where you have something that you read once, or you generate once, you write once, and you can read a lot of other times. Like an ISO, maybe a WAD would be a little bit more appropriate. Think, if you ever played Doom, right? You had WAD files, and this WAD file is a representation of other files. It had a namespace in there, more or less. Namespace is just a root directory, but you had this file system in there. And the reason for that, for games, could be for a number of reasons, for obfuscation, maybe. Mostly I think it's for, if you have a distribution where you just have one file, it's a lot nicer than having, where you have doom.exe and doom.wad. It's a lot nicer than having doom.exe and doom slash. And in that doom slash, you have 80 files or something like that. And for demos, it's really nice because you want one thing. You want demo.exe, or failing that, demo.exe and demo.bat or something like that. So the name I'm going with is Pug because the generator is called Pugler, and that's a cool name, and Pugler and Pugly and all these things. What it is a tree at the beginning, data at the beginning, metadata at the beginning, and then real data at the end that is in files. So it's the root of the tree is slash, because that's root, right? But there's no real directory structure inherent within the tree, although the tree itself can represent directories pretty easily. But slash is root, right? And say in slash you had q.c. So you have these leaves of this root node, 96 possible of which, because there are 96 characters that are in the file names. You have a leaf at q, and then at q you have a leaf at dot, and then at dot you have a leaf at c. And at that node, you have data is here in a flag. Then they have a structure that points to where this data is within the file, and it's this long, and that's how files are represented. And so as long as you know the delimiter for directories, which is a slash, you can walk this alphabet tree, if you will, to the delimiter of where you want your directory, and then subsequent walks will all be coming from that directory. And so that if you stop at that delimiter at the directory, that becomes your root directory. It's kind of a trick, but it works pretty well. And so that's the file system. If the header is a little big, but the size of it remains pretty static. You can have, like if you have 12 files, the header is 12K, but you can have 300 files and the header is like 15K. So it doesn't expand too much, and it kind of tops out at the size of the longest file. That is episode one. Episode two, I'll be talking about something completely different, but related, of course, to building this demo image. Shouts to Klaatu. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, and all the other HPR people and Hacker Media and everything else, because it's fucking late. So take care, and again, youtube.com, username assembly. You can watch these if you feel like it. So take care, and bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.